My Beloved Masters, composed by Srila Bhakti Vigyan Bharati Goswami Maharaj. Shri Srimad Bhakti Gaurav Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj. Exceptionally brilliant from childhood, Shri Srimad Bhakti Gaurav Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj appeared in this world in Bargada Gram, a village in the Ganjam district of Odisha, on the day of Krishna Pratipada during the month of Kartik. He was born in an elite Brahmin family and his parents gave him the name Shri Ujaleshwar Rath. For generations, his forefathers had reverentially carried out the momentous role of serving as royal priests for the king of Bargad. Since Shri Ujaleshwar Rath was the son of a royal priest, the king had a special affinity for him. Noting the boy's exceptional brilliance, he invited Shri Ujaleshwar Rath to the royal assembly, where many dignitaries like royal poets and scholars were present. There, the king intended to showcase the boy's scholarships by engaging him in discussions and debates on a variety of topics. Shri Ujaleshwar Rath defeated all the assembled scholars through his intelligent arguments. The king was so impressed by Shri Ujaleshwar Rath's brilliance that he awarded him the title Pat Yoshi, the champion of studies. The king also recognized him as Shrestha Sabha Kavi, a great poet of the royal assembly, and appointed him Rajguru, the royal spiritual advisor. Appreciating simplicity, Shri Ujaleshwar Rath studied both Sanskrit and English during his schooling, but when he noticed a gross disparity between the pronunciation of similar spelled English words like put and but, he concluded that English was unbefitting those who value logic. He therefore made excellence in Sanskrit his only aim and went on to achieve great proficiency in the language. The rarity of well-wishing critics. Around the time Shri Ujaleshwar Rath assumed the role of Rajguru, the king was planning to construct a new wing of the royal palace. After looking at the blueprints, Shri Ujaleshwar Rath told the engineer, "Cracks will develop in the building if it is constructed in this way. My advice is that you should rethink your plans before moving ahead." The engineer paid no heed to his counsel, and sure enough, cracks began to appear soon after the building was completed. The engineer then recalled what Shri Ujaleshwar Rath had previously told him and visited him. When the engineers asked him on what basis he had made his prediction, Shri Ujaleshwar Rath said, "Look, I'm not an engineer, this is true, but because this place is so close to the flowing river, I was able to assess with all surety that things would go wrong by the way you planned the building's foundation and structure. My parents have instilled in me that we may pay attention to the words of distinguished personalities. Sincere critics who can catch our flaws and point them out to us are indeed rare in this world. If you had given even the slightest bit of value to my words, you would not have wasted so much time and money. Just remember, you will benefit greatly if you resolve to acknowledge the opinions of the wise and amend your mistakes accordingly." As a result of his fearless determination, the blessings of a corpse. Shri Ujaleshwar Rath, the Rajguru of Vadgada, and Shri Lingraj Mishra, the Rajguru of Dharakota, together started practicing the art of Tantra, the magical and mystical formularies described in scriptural canon known as the Tantras. As a part of that practice, they once went to a cremation ground on a dark moon night. There, they practiced their mantra while sitting on the chest of a corpse. When, by the power of the mantras, the corpse raised its hand, Shri Lingraj Mishra got up and ran away out of fear. Shri Ujaleshwar, on the other hand, started shouting at the corpse, "Mrisha, Mrisha, whatever you are doing will go in vain," and continued reciting his mantras. He repeatedly pushed the corpse's hand back down until the corpse exasperated, finally asked him, "Why are you doing this?" "To gain knowledge," Shri Ujjaleshwar Rath replied. "Then go," said the corpse, "and you will attain the topmost knowledge. You need not worry at all." And so it came to pass that Shri Ujjaleshwar Rath became a distinguished scholar. A conversation with a ghost. One time, Rajguru Shri Ujjaleshwar Rath was returning home after selling the season's harvest from the fields he leased to farmers. When he ran into a fierce typhoon-like storm, the torrential rain and punishing hail kept him from continuing on, and so he took shelter at a pan shop in the nearby village. There he asked the shopkeeper if he could stay the night. The shopkeeper asked, "Do you have your own bedding?" "Yes, indeed I do," he said. "Then you can stay in that empty house out front." The shopkeeper showed him the house and left. A short while after, Shri Ujjaleshwar Rath had fallen asleep, an evil spirit inhabiting the house began to cause a commotion. Shri Ujjaleshwar Rath woke up and found a gigantic ghost standing in front of him. He asked the ghost in Sanskrit, "Who are you?" The ghost replied, "I am a Brahmadaitya, the ghost of a Brahmin who has died prematurely after his Upanayan Samskar, sacred thread ceremony." "Why have you come here?" Shri Ujjaleshwar Rath asked. "I live here. You are the one who has come here." "Well, what do you want?" "I want to devour you." "Why?" The ghost was taken back. "What kind of question is this? I make a meal of whoever dares step into this house." Shri Ujjaleshwar Rath said, "But I am a Brahmin. Are you not afraid of killing a Brahmin? How is eating me going to benefit you? You will be stuck in this form of a ghost. What is there to fear in killing a Brahmin? I am a Brahmadaitya. I was once a Brahmin myself. I am destined to remain a ghost no matter what. So I may as well gain some satisfaction by eating you. Why are you unconcerned with delivering yourself from your current state? Where am I supposed to find someone qualified enough to deliver me?" "I will deliver you," Shri Ujjaleshwar Rath assured him. "Look," the ghost said, "not just anyone can deliver me. Only an exceptional person who observes Ekadashi the way Srimad Bhagavatam has described. Footnote: eating only once a day before Ekadashi, fasting from everything including water on the day of Ekadashi, performing Hari Sankirtan through the night, and eating only once the following day. Shri Amrish Maharaj observed it, can deliver me by offering me the fruit of observing one such Ekadashi. But like I said, where will I find such an exalted person?" Shri Ujjaleshwar Rath said, "I follow all Ekadashis in this manner. I will deliver you." Saying this, he took water in his hand, vowed to offer the fruit of one of his Ekadashi's fast, and threw the water on the ghost. The ghost was immediately delivered, and he disappeared with a sharp hissing sound like that of a soda bottle being opened. As this encounter was quite lengthy, Shri Ujjaleshwar Rath did not fall asleep until late in the night. The next morning, when the shopkeeper observed that the house was still bolted from inside, he gathered his fellow villagers to investigate what had happened inside the house. Hearing the noise of the villagers outside the door, Shri Ujjaleshwar Rath opened it. The villagers were awestruck. "Are you okay?" they asked. "Has nothing happened to you?" "What was supposed to happen?" he asked. The villagers said, "Some sort of monster lives here. No one survives the night in this house. That shopkeeper is a fool for telling you to stay here. We are extremely grateful to God that you are safe. Did the ghost say anything to you?" "He said what he had to say, and I said what I had to say. I delivered him by giving him the fruit of observing just one Ekadashi. Now he has left this place. From now on, no one will have any problem staying here." When the villagers found out that he was Shri Ujjaleshwar Rath, the king's guru, they told the shopkeeper he was lucky nothing happened to Shri Ujjaleshwar Rath. Otherwise, who knows what punishment that king might have inflicted on not only him but all the villagers as well, recognizing a tantric spell. While Shri Ujjaleshwar Rath was once staying the night in a village with a large group of people, a tantric priest began distributing sweets to everyone. Because Shri Ujjaleshwar Rath had practiced Tantra Yoga, he could tell that the sweets were actually animal excrement. He told everyone this, but one or two people doubted him. He then collected a particular type of grass and touched it to the sweets, whereupon they transformed, revealing that they were indeed stool. Exposing a fraudster. Once, a man announced that he would come to Shri Ujjaleshwar Rath village on a particular day to perform an incredible fire sacrifice. He claimed that he would offer oblations of chilies into the fire in such a magical way that the attendees would experience neither difficulty breathing nor irritation in their eyes. Almost all the villagers were intrigued. In the coming days, they spoke only of the mysterious man and eagerly anticipated the scheduled date. When Shri Ujjaleshwar Rath came to hear of this, he resolved to expose the man as a fraud. He began experimenting with various methods of burning chilies in order to discover a way in which they would produce inoffensive smoke. Finally, he learned the process. After soaking chilies in ghee for some time, he burned them in a fire sacrifice he performed in front of the villagers. The villagers were astonished to breathe in the innocuous smoke. "How is this possible?" they asked. "What mantra did you use?" Shri Ujjaleshwar Rath told them that man was trying to make fools of you. After much experimentation, I figured out that soaking chilies in ghee makes them harmless when burned. Many people use mantras and as aid to fool common men, but it is not that difficult to figure out the truth behind the trickery and ill intentions of such persons. When the fraudster heard that Shri Ujjaleshwar Rath had exposed him, he decided not to appear on the scheduled date. His exemplary honesty. Because Shri Ujjaleshwar Rath was a Rajguru, the employees of the royal kingdom would come to his house every now and then to give him raw goods like grains, beans, and flour as gifts, sometimes on the king's behalf and sometimes of their own accord. They would tell him not to save any of the provisions, but to finish them off. Once when they came, he refused to accept their offerings. He said, "I still have so much left over from last time." The royal employees said, "Never before, for any reason, have the other Rajgurus ever refused these offerings." Shri Ujjaleshwar Rath replied, "How anyone could use such a large quantity of items, I cannot say. Perhaps they bury them in the ground or do something else with them. But regarding myself, I can say this with all certainty. I am not an elephant. I cannot consume the large supply you send me, nor am I inclined to be dishonest. Please take your goods back." From this incident, we can conclude that Srila Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj must have possessed such an staunchly exemplary a character from his very childhood. Service must not inconvenience one's worshipful deity. Before Shri Ujjaleshwar Rath met Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati Goswami Thakur, he worshipped Surya, the sun god. He had taken a staunch vow to refrain from eating anything before first seeing and worshipping the sun. Once while he was on his way to Sridham Vrindavan for pilgrimage, the winter time fog obstructed his view of the sun from morning until almost evening, and so he fasted without accepting so much as a drop of water. When his train reached Delhi, he caught a glimpse of the sun from his window. He thought to get down at the station to get water and buy fruits. But before he could do that, the train's air horn sounded, indicating that the train was preparing to leave the station. At that very moment, a man carrying a large basket on his head rushed up to Shri Ujjaleshwar Rath's window and asked him to help unload the basket at the door. Shri Ujjaleshwar Rath helped the man unload the basket, but when he turned around, no one was there and the train left the station. When he looked back at the basket, he saw it was full of ripe, out-of-season fruits and first-class sweets. He understood that his worshipful deity, Suryadev, had personally given him those items. He concluded, "It is the devotee's duty to worship his worshipful deity, but to undertake a vow that inconveniences that worshipful deity is grossly inappropriate. Instead of taking those fruits and sweets for himself, he distributed them among sadhus when he reached Vrindavan. Therefore, he decided to give up the vow that caused his worshipful deity to serve him." Simplicity is necessary in visiting the dham. During his travels, Sri Ujleshwar Rath went to Sridham Vrindavan and then to Navadvip, where he arrived in Sridham Mayapur. There he received the darshan of Srila Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati Goswami Thakur. As fortune would have it, the annual Sri Navadvip Dham Parikrama was about to commence, and so Sri Ujleshwar Rath decided not to stay and set out his bedding under a jackfruit tree. In those days, Parikrama Prasad consisted of locally harvested fat grain brown rice, which Sri Ujleshwar Rath was unable to eat. He did not mention this to anyone. Instead, he filled up on broken biscuits stirred into water. Although Sri Ujleshwar Rath was a learned scholar, born to an elite family of Brahmins, as well as an esteemed Rajguru, he had not the slightest sense of self-importance. We can infer from his example the mentality we should maintain when visiting the dham. The impact of a single statement from Srila Prabhupada. One day, during Sri Navadvip Dham Parikrama, Sri Ujleshwar Rath was crossing the Saraswati River by boat to go to Sri Godrim. Srila Prabhupada was also in the boat, along with several sannyasis and brahmacharis. Sri Ujleshwar Rath had a habit of chewing pan, and so, due to the force of habit, he spat into the Saraswati. Srila Prabhupada saw this and immediately said, "We regard Saraswati to be identical to Ganga." Srila Prabhupada's statement was so powerful that Sri Ujleshwar Rath began to reproach himself. He thought, "People go through so much trouble and spend so much money just to catch a glimpse of the Ganga and bathe in her sacred waters. She is venerated by demigods, sages, seers, and great personalities. Because of my bad habit, I have made the offense of spitting into her waters. Moreover, I have made a sadhu unhappy by doing this." As he thought this, he removed his box of pan from his pocket and threw it into the Saraswati. He vowed, "From this day forth, I shall never again take pan as long as I live." This anecdote teaches us the real way how to listen to and sincerely follow the words of sadhus. Surrendering his life at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. During a short, few-day visit to Sri Dham Mayapur, Sri Ujleshwar Rath heard Srila Prabhupada's charismatic Harikatha and the glories of all the places visited during Sri Dham Navadvip Parikrama. Through this, he internalized Gaudiya Vaishnava's current of immaculate precepts and thereby realized that his erudition and respectable position as Rajguru were worthless. Without further delay, he accepted the shelter of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet and received Harinam and Diksha from him. My Shiksha Guru, Sri Krishna Keshav Brahmachari, also received Diksha on that same day. Having observed Sri Ujleshwar Rath's approach to performing bhajan, his service-oriented attitude and his boundless conviction, Srila Prabhupada awarded him sannyas about 2 years after his diksha, and he personally chose his sannyas name, Sri Bhakti Gaurav Vaikhanas Maharaj. Many of Srila Prabhupada's disciples were astonished to see Sri Ujleshwar Rath receive sannyas within such a short span of time, especially because Srila Prabhupada was known to withhold diksha from many devotees, even those who had been waiting several years. Establishing the superiority of Vaishnavta over Brahmanatta. Srila Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj preached in many places after accepting sannyas. Once, after a tour in Balasur, Odisha, he went to the city of Berhampur, where the Rajgurus of 3 different states approached him and said, "Even though you are Kulin Brahmin and were previously a Rajguru, when you joined the Gaudiya Math, you began accepting the company of people from all type of caste and races. This has greatly harmed the reputation of our respectable position as both Rajgurus and Brahmins. With all humility, Srila Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj explained to them the glories of Devi Varanashrama, a principle revived by Srila Prabhupada. He helped the Rajgurus understand the difference between the soul's constitutional and conditioned positions. He explained that the true, inherent identity of the Jiva, means living entity, is that of an eternal servant of Bhagwan. But in the conditioned stage, that identity is covered by many temporary material designations, of which Brahman is but one. Upon further discussions, the Rajgurus developed faith in the Gaudiya Math and in Srila Prabhupada. Although they previously spoke ill of Sri Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj, they ultimately agreed that he had actually increased their honor and dignity exponentially. The repository of others' faith. One Srila Prabhupada expressed his desire to organize a month-long event at Sri Purushottam Math, his math at Chakraparvat in Puri. When devotees asked him who should be responsible for organizing that event, he said, Shripad Vaikhanas Maharaj will be able to manage everything very nicely. Srila Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj was preaching in another city when he received words of Srila Prabhupada's directive. On one hand, he was extremely delighted, and on the other hand, he was worried about how to arrange everything. At that time, a businessman told him, "Do not worry in the least. There is no need for you to trouble yourself with collecting the necessary items or transporting them to Puri. I will arrange everything without getting up from my seat." This instant conveys the significance of the faith people had in him. They were so devoted to him that they could not tolerate seeing him even momentarily worried about anything. The proper method of deity installation. Before having darshan of any deity of Bhagwan, Srila Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj would always ask, "Who installed these deities?" If he was informed that a genuine Vaishnava had installed them, then he would offer pranam. But if not, his next question would be, "Has a distinguished Vaishnava ever had darshan of them?" If affirmed, he would offer pranam, otherwise he would leave immediately. He would often say, "The scriptures forbid one to offer pranams to deities that have not been installed by a realized Vaishnava." Deities become direct, worshipful personification of Bhagwan only when any of the senses of Mahabhagavas come in contact with them. In other words, they become Shri Vigraha when a Vaishnava touches them, has darshan of them, names them or offer pranams to them by reciting mantras of glorification. Otherwise, they remain nothing but statues composed of material elements like wood or stone. What intelligent person would want to invoke misfortune by offering respects to deities installed by a non-Vaishnava? Although a lawyer may have drafted an immaculately intelligible deed for a property's transfer of ownership, the typist may have made no mistake in finalizing it on a stamp paper, and prospective buyer names may have been explicitly mentioned. It is useless without the signature of the present owner, just as currency has no value without the governor's signature. Similarly, no one can approach or serve Bhagwan unless a Mahabhagavat confirms his pranadhan, his life wealth, the inconceivable and unapproachable Supreme Lord himself upon that person. This is the real purpose of deity installation. Why should I offer pranam to an idol and thereby support those who follow an unauthentic process? The above is a teaching I learned through his direct instruction and by observing his conduct. An expert reciter of mantras. As long as Sri Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj was physically present in this world, Guru Maharaj had him install the deities in all of the branches of Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya Math that were established at that time. I noticed that when he recited mantras during those installation ceremonies, he never referred to a book. An uninterrupted current of the mantras would issue forth from his mouth. Although he would instruct his assistants in the installations, my godbrother, Sri Bhakti Surit Damodar Maharaj, to cross-check his recitation against a book of reference and correct him when needed, he never made a mistake, remaining careful to accept only that what is required. On the instruction of Guru Maharaj, I once presented Srila Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj with 4 sets of garments, I had dyed and prepared according to his measurements. However, he returned 1 set to me, saying, I only ever keep 3 sets of clothes at one time. If I keep 4, I will become a sense enjoyer. Please think of my well-being and keep this 4th set for yourself. An extraordinary display of simple-heartedness. Once Guru Maharaj took Srila Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj by plane from Kolkata to preach in Guwahati. While in the air, Srila Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj told Guru Maharaj, Maharaj, I need to pass urine. Then go to the bathroom and relieve yourself, Guru Maharaj replied. Srila Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj innocently said, Maharaj, our Guru Parampara has instructed us, Jive Samman Dive Jane Krishna Adishtan. Respect all living entities, knowing that Krishna is present in every one of them. Krishna dwells as the Super Soul Paramatma in all living entities. How, then, could I possibly pass urine in this airplane? What do you mean? Guru Maharaj asked. The urine I pass will end up on someone's head when it falls from the hole in plane's bathroom, and this will become a serious impediment to my spiritual progress. Guru Maharaj clarified that this is not the way it works. Srila Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj then got up and went to the bathroom without worry. His careful discernment. Srila Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj would engage others in serving him prasad or water only after assessing their state of consciousness by quizzing them. He would ask various questions like, what is the supreme duty of those who have obtained human life? What is the purpose of living in the mart? Why should we perform Hari Bhajan? And so on. He would ask them for something only if their answer was satisfactory and appropriate for performing Hari Bhajan. Otherwise, he would remain silent and not asking for anything. One time, when Srila Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj came to our Kolkata mart, he called one brahmachari over and asked him, why have you become a resident of the mart? The brahmachari replied, it is easier to maintain celibacy in the mart. I have come to observe celibacy. Seeing me pass by as he was talking to the brahmachari, Srila Maharaj called me and told the brahmachari to leave. When the brahmachari left, Srila Maharaj had a peculiar look on his face. He said to me in a low, endearing voice, Narottam, that brahmachari has come here to practice celibacy, not Hari Bhajan. If I accept water from his hand, his tendency will enter into me. I therefore want you alone to bring me some water to drink. I was always amazed to see how subtly and carefully he analyzed his every action. His gentle yet firm manner of pointing out faults. Srila Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj once found an error regarding the date of an Ekadashi listed in Shri Navdeep calendar published by Shri Srimad Bhakti Kusum Shravan Goswami Maharaj. When he noticed that mistake, he first consulted with Shri Srimad Bhakti Vicharya Yajavar Goswami Maharaj, Shri Srimad Bhakti Alok Paramans Maharaj and Shri Srimad Bhakti Pramod Puri Goswami Maharaj. When the error was unanimously confirmed, he proceeded to draft a letter which he gave to my godbrother Shri Bhakti Surit Damodar Maharaj and me to deliver to Srila Shravan Goswami Maharaj. When I read this letter, I appreciated his ability to be simultaneously firm and gentle while pointing out another's honest mistake. He wrote, Shripad Shravan Maharaj, if you assign Ekadashi to this particular date in your calendar, then how will the verse of Shri Hari Bhakti Vilas that describe how one should properly calculate Ekadashi Tithis hold true? Srila Shravan Maharaj later replied that he regretted the error and would rectify it by pasting a sticker that mentioned the correction on all the undistributed calendars. In those days, devotees were not ashamed when others pointed out their shortcomings. Rather, they would accept their flaws with grace. The model nowadays, however, is quite different. Although many devotees present themselves as Vaishnavas externally, they experience no shame in behaving in a manner unbefitting a Vaishnava when their impropriety is exposed. They perceive it as a personal assault to their prestige and self-respect, even though they may internally concede their shortcomings after careful introspection. even when the scriptures and precedents set up by exalted personalities do not substantiate their views, such persons continue to defend their transgressions. By maintaining a stubborn attitude, they simply inflict misfortune upon themselves. Serving Vaishnavas in whatever way possible. We, the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya Math, were under strict instructions from Srila Vaikhanas Gosai Maharaj to notify him whenever he would pass through Behrampur. He used to say, "Though I may be unable to do much service for the Vaishnavas, I can at least send prasad from my mutt in Ganjam to those travelling through Behrampur. Naturally, I will be angry if you deprive me of this service. Now that I have told you this, you will be at fault. Should I become angry, do not blame me for it." His mutt in Ganjam was quite far from the Behrampur railway station, and we did not want to inconvenience him in any way. Still, we would always honor his instruction by notifying him of our travels and graciously accepting the prasadam he sent, understanding it to be a token of his true mercy. In this way, whenever anyone would travel through Behrampur, they would ask my godbrother, Sri Bhakti Lalit Giri Maharaj, or me, to send a letter to Sri Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj notifying him of their journey, because ours was the only Bengali handwriting he was able to read. Honoring an extremely junior devotee. In 1962, when Srila Vaikhanas Gosai Maharaj manifested illness pastimes and was admitted to a hospital in Behrampur, Guru Maharaj sent me to serve him. Before I departed for Behrampur, he told me many stories about Srila Vaikhanas Gosai Maharaj that illustrated his service propensity. After reaching Behrampur, I served Srila Maharaj as much as I possibly could. After a few days, Guru Maharaj sent me a letter in which he said, "Many of the services at the Mayapur Math have been put on hold in your absence. I am sending Srila Bhakti Sharan Sadhu Maharaj to Behrampur. When he arrives, return to Mayapur after taking the permission of Srila Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj." When Sri Sadhu Maharaj arrived and I asked Srila Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj for permission to leave as per Guru Maharaj's instructions, Srila Maharaj told me, "This is the first time you have come here, so have darshan of Sri Kishore Kishori ji in our Ganjam Mart before you leave." "As you wish, Maharaj," I said. Srila Maharaj then had one of his disciples arrange for my visit to the Mart and travel with me to the Mart in Ganjam. When we reached the bus station in Ganjam, I was welcomed by a large party of devotees performing Sankirtan. As they escorted me to the Mart, they continued the Sankirtan in a grand procession. To my amazement, they laid down four lengths of white fabric that would cycle out as I walked. I was embarrassed and hesitant to walk on it. When I asked the devotee who accompanied me why they had gone to such considerable lengths to respectfully welcome someone like me, he said, "We are simply following Guru Maharaj's instructions on how to honor Vaishnavas like you." I was speechless. I began weighing my own condition against that of Srila Maharaj in the light of the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.81.16. Kvaham daridra papiyan, kva krishna shi niketana, brahm bandur ita samaham, bahu bhayam parirambita. Sudama Brahman said, "I am sinful, wretched and unqualified Brahman, and Krishna is the shelter of the goddess of fortune. Still, he has embraced me in his arms." Although this verse was spoken by Sudama in reference to Sri Krishna, it perfectly captured how I felt about honor shown to me by Sri Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj, who was not only my Guru Varga, but Guru Maharaj's Sannyas Guru as well. Remaining chaste in his cooking services. Srila Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj was an exceptionally talented cook. He personally cooked for his deities, Sri Sri Kishore Kishori ji, even though he was elderly and had many disciples. When he would offer us some of Sri Sri Kishore Kishori's prasad, we were reluctant to accept the dishes he had prepared, considering him to be a Vaishnava worthy of our service. I once asked him, "Why do you continue to cook in your advanced age?" He replied, "Am I some sort of unchaste wife who stops cooking for her husband? Whom will I serve if not them? The chutney he made from banana peels and his sweet rice was so delicious that I can remember their taste even today. A humorous and affectionate comment. Each time my godfather, Shri Lalit Charan Prabhu, would serve Srila Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj a variety of prasad preparations, Srila Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj would joke, "Lalita Charan, today have become the munificent Data Karna." Footnote: Karna, a personality mentioned in Mahabharata, is known for his charity and selflessness. This comment made such an impression on my heart that even today I repeat the same thing when someone gives me many things to eat. Teaching at every step. Wherever Srila Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj would go, he would describe Srila Prabhupada's glories, exemplary character and teachings. Although Srila Maharaj delivered all his lectures in Sanskrit, his use of the language was so simple that everyone was able to understand, whether Bengali, Uriya, Assamese or Hindustani. His lectures, his personal conduct and his interactions with others were chock full of teachings. There was a lesson to be learned at every step. The auspiciousness of the Vaishnav's Kirtan. I once went to a Sankirtan program in Berhampur under the guidance of Srila Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj at the home of one of his disciples. The many devotees that gathered there sang various Vaishnav songs. Srila Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj delivered Hari Katha and at the end addressed the hosts. Today, the Vaishnavs perform Kirtan in your home. This has undoubtedly brought you great auspiciousness. Shri Prahlad Maharaj has said that a home in which saintly persons do not assemble and perform Hari Katha and Kirtan is comparable to a fearsomely deep, dark well. A prediction. When Srila Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj Math was under construction, he made a prediction of sorts when he told his disciples, "Do not worry about money. Someone will come and make all the necessary arrangements on his own accord. Simply engage in Bhagavad Bhajan." Srila Maharaj left this world shortly afterward making this prediction, and his words proved true. A beautiful math was built, thus fulfilling the statement, "Satyam vidato nijabhritya bhashitam." Bhagwan upholds his devotees' words by making them come true. Experiencing separation from him even today. Although it has been over 50 years since Srila Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj entered Nitya Lila, when I think of him, it is as though I can see him standing before me. Shri Srimad Bhakti Gaurav Vaikhanas Goswami Maharaj Viray Mahotsav, composed under the editorship of Shri Srimad Bhakti Pramod Puri Goswami Maharaj. His swift surrender to Shri Guru. We have heard that during his life as a householder, Pujyapad Bhakti Gaurav Vaikhanas Maharaj, then known as Shri Ujleshwar Patayo Shri Rath, being disinterested in worldly affairs, sincerely sought a bona fide guru. One day, as fate would have it, he came across a picture of our most worshipful Srila Prabhupada. Simply by seeing that picture, his heart was captivated and drawn to the lotus feet of Prabhupada, who brought auspiciousness to the entire world. At that very moment, within his heart, Shri Ujleshwar Rath became eager to meet Srila Prabhupada, and he accepted him as a bona fide guru and best friend, who would take sole responsibility for his spiritual life. By Prabhupada's causeless mercy, Shri Ujleshwar Rath was able to serve his worldly ties with exemplary swiftness and arrive in Sridham Mayapur in 1933, where he took shelter of Shri Srila Prabhupada's exquisite lotus feet. Seeing his heartfelt attachment to following the path of pure devotion, Prabhupada gave him Krishna Naam Mahamantra and Mantra Diksha initiation after only a short while. His intense passion for performing bhajan. After receiving Diksha from our most worshipful Prabhupada, Shri Ujleshwar Rath became known as Shri Ujleshwar Rasananda Das. Noting his disciples ever increasing intense passion for performing bhajan sadhan, Srila Prabhupada granted him Tridanda Sannyas on the auspicious full moon day of Shri Shri Gaur's appearance, Friday the 1st of March 1934, at Yogpit in Sridham Mayapur, the same place where Sriman Mahaprabhu appeared in this world. His sannyas name became Tridandi Swami Srimad Bhakti Gaurav Vaikhanas Maharaj. From then on, under the auspices of Sri Guru, he assumed the role of a roaming mendicant and dedicated his very life to propagating the divine message of Sri Sri Guru Gauranga in various places throughout India, from one region to the next. In his later years, following the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada, at the fervent behest of his Oriya disciples, he established Sri Saraswat Ashram in the village of Gonja Gram near Berhampur, otherwise known as Berhampura. After establishing the service of Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Radha Govind Jiu there, he remained at that place and performed bhajan sadhan until concluding his manifest pastime in this world. The idol nature of a Vaishnava. Pujyapad Maharaj was naturally resplendent with the multitude of attributes found in Vaishnavas, but in recalling his simple-hearted, amiable dealings and his sweetly peaceful presence, my heart becomes specially overwhelmed. After the disappearance of our most worshipful Prabhupada, he bestowed sannyas to many of his prominent godbrothers, such as Sri Bhakti Dait Madhav Maharaj, the founder of Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya Math, Sri Bhakti Saud Ashram Maharaj, Sri Bhakti Sharan Shant Maharaj, myself, and others. Although he accepted the position of sannyas guru, he continued to show us the respect due one's godbrothers, and thereby demonstrated the idol nature of a Vaishnava, which entails offering respect to others while not expecting any in return. His favorite prayers and kirtans. We were stunned to see that even in his extremely advanced age, Srila Maharaj's acute powers of memory remained unaffected. Every day, we heard him recite songs and prayers from Srimad Bhagavatam, such as Garbha Stuti, Brahma Stuti, Ras Panchadhyay, Bhramar Geet, Prahlada Charitra, and Gajendra Moksha. Additionally, he would often recite Brahma Samhita and the entire Bhagavad Gita, as well as various Vedic mantras and the many hymns composed by Sri Rup and Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. An ancient devotee. Although Pujyapad Maharaj passed away at a very advanced age, today, in separation from such a highly learned personality, who is actually an ancient devotee of the Lord, we are experiencing acute anguish in our hearts. May he be pleased with us and distribute among us his affection and mercy. Excerpts from articles published in Sri Chaitanya Vani, Year 6, Volume 3.